Great. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the word. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, so say hi to your neighbor. Say you're welcome. Say you're welcome to. Hallelujah. All right, so and this morning we're going to be studying blueprints for spiritual growth. Blueprints for spiritual growth. And I want you to be attentive. What are we seeking to achieve? The aim of this teaching is to let us see that in the scriptures or in the Bible, in the Word of God, there are blueprints for spiritual maturity. If a man wants to grow up spiritually, there are things such a person must do over and over again consistently in order to grow. Hallelujah. If you don't have a Bible, Signify, so you can get a Bible. Get a Bible to use in this meeting. You don't have a Bible. Come to church without a Bible. Get a Bible for him and get him a notebook. This church is a Bible-believing church, a Bible-reading church, a Bible-opening church, a Bible-writing church. Praise God. Hallelujah. By that, I don't mean we are writing our own Bible. Okay, blueprint for spiritual maturity. What's a blueprint? It's a model, a design. When you say there's a blueprint for something, it means there's a plan or a pattern that must be followed. So blueprints of spiritual maturity are things in the Word of God that are models. I can just, you know, copy those same things and get the same results. That's what we're saying. Now, we all need to grow. Growth is so essential. Growth is so important. As a Christian, you can't afford to be lackadaisical about spiritual growth. You cannot afford to not be concerned about your growth. As a matter of fact, the moment there's no desire for growth, at that point in time, such a believer has tested for worldliness. There must always be a desire for spiritual growth. You have to grow. Hallelujah. You have to grow. And you see, growth is something we all have to pursue together as a church, collectively. Collectively. Now, put this in your note. The church is described as the body of Christ. The church is described as the body of Christ. So that means there's a togetherness to our faith. The body of Christ. Hallelujah. So, you know, so the idea that I'm on my own, I want to do my own thing, I just want to grow at my own pace, my own, and all those kind of stuff, they don't fit into the description we have in scriptures. The church is the body. So we are to see ourselves as a body. Glory to God. Now, I'm not saying you don't have faith in God on a personal note. What I'm saying is, for growth, there's a togetherness. And that is how it is presented in the scriptures. In fact, you get blessed through men, true or false. You get blessed through men. And so the same way you also get blessed through men, you also can be a blessing to men. Hallelujah. You can be blessed through men, and you are going to be a blessing to men. So there's no abstractness in these things. Growth happens as a body. Hallelujah. As a body. So before you start thinking of what to do, how to grow, you must first understand this reality. We are a body. We are one. Glory to God. So look at scriptures where Bible refers to us as the body. Romans chapter 12, in verse 4 to 5. Romans 12, 4 to 5. Glory to God. Romans chapter 12, in verse 4 to 5. Bible says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Have you seen that? Members of one another. Though we are many, we are one body. And we are members of one another. There's a relationship between us. You know, while we were growing up, people would say, I was in church. That is, I just come to church, say my prayers, go home, no relationship, no interactions. I mean, my relationship is just with God. That notion is false. Hallelujah. There isn't just relationship between you and God. There's relationship between fellow members of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So we are one body. Though we are many members, we make up one body in Christ. Hallelujah. Look at this other place. Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. For many folks who distance themselves from church, it's such a pity that you are robbing yourself of spiritual growth. That's the implication of what I'm sharing. You distance yourself from church, you don't see a need to be committed anywhere, to be planted in a place to grow. You just want to freestyle. You are doing yourself so much disservice. Because growth is going to be found when you plant yourself in a place. That's where growth happens. There's a collectiveness, a togetherness. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. When you see an emphasis in scriptures on the body of Christ, it's not for joke. You have to pay attention to such things. Ephesians 4 verses 1 to 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of what? Of the Spirit. Walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another. Is there one another? So in the faith, there are people you bear with. There are people you deal with on a regular basis. It now says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Glory be to God. God working through us all and is in us all. Now look at verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given. Say to each one of us. Is it to some of us? To each one, grace was given according to what? To the measure of Christ's gift. So imagine what beauty and what blessedness it will be if everybody takes it upon himself to grow. Hallelujah. Because it says it is to each one of us. Christ has given a measure of gift. All of us. Glory to God. Read down to verse 11. And he himself, now it's talking about spiritual, you know, offices. Ministry gift. Now, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Have you seen? Till we all. Abi? That's not like all of us growing at different paces. Till we all, that is collectively, as we are receiving the ministry, we can all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Hallelujah. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What is the role of the ministry gift? According to verse 12. For what? For the equipping of what? Of the saints. Glory to God. Now write this down. The word equipping is the Greek word katatismos. Not a big word, just the Greek word. Katatismos. K-A-T-A-R-T-I-S-M-O-S. K-A-T-A-R-T-I-S-M-O-S. Katatismos. Which could mean perfecting. That's why the KJV says for the perfecting of the saints. It could mean to perfect people. Hallelujah. It would also mean a complete furnishing. Perfecting, complete furnishing. But I like this definition from Mount's Concise Greek and English Dictionary of the New Testament. It says, a complete qualification for a specific purpose. Hallelujah. A complete qualification for a specific purpose. So that means we all are ministers of the gospel, right? But then it is by training we are made qualified. Have you seen believers who, you know, get fidgety and they can't do the work of ministry, they can't preach, and they feel incompetent? Such men have not gone through training, because it is training that qualifies you for that task. Hallelujah. You suddenly become qualified. You are skilled. You are able to do that which you've been called to do. Training is important. So it says the gifts are for the equipping the saints for the work of ministry. That's unlike the contemporary, you know, modern view of church, where those gifts are the ones doing the work of ministry. And everybody just comes to watch and spectate and clap and say, wow, pastor is preaching good. Every member of the body of Christ is assigned to do the work of ministry. Hallelujah. So the work of the pastor, bishop, pastor and bishop are the same. Bishop, overseer, they are the same. Praise God. Elder, they are the same. You know, it's in the modern church, we have pastors, we have bishops, we have archbishops. Praise God. In Bible days, the word bishop is the predominant word used for pastors, bishop and elders. The word pastor is used just once in this portion. So a bishop is a pastor. So the work of a pastor, a bishop, and evangelist, anybody, a leadership, you know, role in the body of Christ, is to raise men so they can be equipped for the work of ministry. That is, after you've come to church over and over again, you become an effective minister of the gospel. Glory to God. Because each and every one of us have received the ministry. Glory to God. Say to your neighbor, you have received the ministry. Say to your neighbor, you have the ministry. And when you come to church, you come to be equipped for the work of ministry. Hallelujah. So that means the church enables you to fulfill your ministry. Glory to God. And what is that ministry? It's not many things. It's not your own ministry is how to play football. Your own ministry is entertainment. No. The ministry is one. That's why it's one faith. Amen. The ministry is simply testifying about Jesus to this world collectively as a church. Now we have ministry to God also. We have ministry within the body in the which we edify ourselves. That's why if you look at verse 12, the second thing there, the ministry gifts are to equip us for the ministry. And for what? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Glory to God. You see, the word edifying there is an architectural word, architectural term, which means to build up. Now, this particular task is a collective task. Glory to God. It's a collective task. If anybody has grown in this place, such a person has grown because he has received the ministry of the body. Hallelujah. You know, there's something called the ministry of the body. That's what we are seeing. It is not just the pastor teaching the folks. It is the entire church edifying themselves. Hallelujah. Everybody edifying themselves. So when you come into a place like this and somebody walks up to you and say, "Ah, brother, it's been a long time. I didn't see you in church. When last did you study your Bible? When have you seen this thing that was explained recently?" You don't say, "Ah, what's your own? Are you a pastor?" It is the work of everybody here. In fact, you are meant to be your brother's keeper, watching out for the growth of the other person, looking out for the other person's growth. You don't get overwhelmed and say, "Ah, in that church, there's no hiding place." You know, some people run from churches like this because there's no hiding place. If you are not growing, you will know. Hallelujah. And there will be somebody trying to be a helper of your faith. It is not to shame you or to disqualify you. It is to help you grow. So you don't get overwhelmed and say, "What's your own? Are you the pastor?" We all have a collective task of edifying one another. Hallelujah. How do we know this is a collective task? The context gives it up. Look at verse 13 to 16. Again, can we all read Ephesians 4, 13 to 16? One, two, go. "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies." Hallelujah. Is it by what every joint supplies? Yeah. "By what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does it here." Is it every part? Yes, Every part does it here. What does that translate into? The last line. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. And look, again, you see that word edifying. So how does the edification come? By every part doing its own function. Praise God. Every part. Every part making a supply. So you are not just in church to receive from others. You are also in church to supply. Glory to God. You are in church to supply. It is okay to walk up to somebody and say, I've not been seeing you at evangelism. What's wrong? Can we fix the time to go out together? And so, you don't say, I don't want to overstep my boundaries. That's actually your ministry. Praise God. To edify another fellow. To be a blessing to somebody else. To receive ministry and to also give ministry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's a collective task. So you find the word body used regularly in the New Testament to describe the church. Because there's a togetherness to our faith. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. The body. Look at this very key scripture. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Hallelujah. Let each of you do what? Speak truth to his neighbor. Because we are what? We are members of one another. The NIV says we are members of the same body. Let us speak truth to one another. You see, there's a devotion and there's a responsibility you have towards other people in this place. Not just towards other people in this place, towards Christians at all. I have a task of being a blessing to you as much as I'm also receiving of your ministry. Glory to God. So we are studying blueprints of spiritual growth and I'm highlighting for you why it's important for us to grow. We are the body. Hallelujah. I am not disconnected from the body. As a pastor, I don't say, well, in this church, everybody should give word to themselves, but you must know your level. Praise God. You can't be giving word to the pastor. I know there are places like that. The pastor is part of the body. Yes. Hallelujah. The pastor is a part of what? The body. The pastor should be blessed by the body. In fact, it doesn't make sense to say we all have the Spirit of God, but then the pastor is the one that now coordinates others to bless themselves. So who is the pastor? Glory to God. The pastor is part of the body. You know what you are trying to do? You are trying to take the role of the head of the body. Because it's only Jesus you cannot preach to. It's only Jesus you cannot bless. Glory to God. It's only Jesus you cannot give word of knowledge. For what? But you know, every other person can be ministered to. The Apostle Paul stepped into a meeting, believers, while he was talking, you know, relating with them and was about to travel. Another person came and gave a word. The man Agabus. Glory to God. Gave a word about his mission, his journey. Paul didn't say, a whole apostle. Let's be respecting ourselves. Hallelujah. You know, you can give a pastor a word of knowledge that will save him on his journey. You can give a pastor a word of knowledge that will help him. It doesn't mean the man is not spiritual. It doesn't mean he's not mature. It can even be a confirmation. You know, sometimes because of the human element, I can receive a word and I'm still second guessing it. And then somebody now gives me the same word. You know what that does for me? It confirms what I've received and I pay more attention to it. So the body is such that we all should be blessing ourselves. Hallelujah. All of us. Sometimes you find somebody else teaching the word in this place and the pastors are seated listening. Have you seen that before? It's not because we are trying to prove a point. It's because, see, at that point in time, you know what the Bible says? 1 Peter chapter 4. Let him that speaks as the oracle of God. I'm not seeing Perez or Sam. I'm seeing God's word. Hallelujah. And if it is being taught in simplicity and clarity, I receive as though Jesus himself was present and is teaching. That's the attitude that gets it. So I don't sit down marking, you know, did I call you, say, that message? You didn't do well yet. Was I giving you I don't do that. Praise God. I don't sit down as a master trying to receive and then all through the message, I'm just trying to grade him. Necessary. I'm receiving. Hallelujah. At the end of the day, I'm edified. So pastor can be edified if I preach. Are you not a minister of the gospel? What are you preaching? The Bible says we do not preach ourselves. Hallelujah. But Christ Jesus the Lord. I should bring a Sunday school child, a 12-year-old boy, to this place. He gives a recitation from scriptures and you are blessed. You don't say, our children, they are coming up. You should receive. Hallelujah.
and be blessed.
Because the work of edifying ourselves is a collective task. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it says, let each one speak truth with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Look at this other place, Colossians chapter 1, in verse 24 to 29. Colossians 1, 24 to 29. Colossians 1, 24 to 29. Glory be to God. You know, last week Pastor Toby taught for a while. Praise God. Don't worry, my own will be short. Hallelujah. He taught for a long while. I listened and I was blessed. I particularly liked the way he knocked off the idea of, you know, the word righteous often or always something to mean, you know, righteous position. It's also about people's works too. And you find an example at Sodom and Gomorrah. Praise God. When he says righteous was, Lot was righteous amongst them, it's not just about faith. It's about his action. That's why the contrast is their own wickedness. Glory to God. Alright, so, powerful teaching. Let's continue. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, 24 to 29. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body. Again, you see, his body, which is the church, of which I became what? A minister. So in the body, Paul was a minister, or he is a minister of the gospel, a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, that is mature in Christ. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Imagine if we did not have the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Imagine if Paul just came to the church and said, everybody just on your own, just try to grow. He says, I became a minister in the body. And that's the reason why we, you know, we have his letters today. We have his teaching. We have his instructions. We have his warnings. Glory to God. Because one man took it upon himself to fulfill his ministry. Glory be to God. And that's why you and I also have been called into the body. And we have a role. Each and every one of us have a role to fulfill. Glory to God. Look at this other place. So we see that it's a collective task. We have to grow together. We get more qualified as we give ourselves to the ministry, to receiving the ministry of the body. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. It said the word body is used regularly, not in a decorative sense. It carries a significance. Because we are the body, there must be growth pursued together. Hallelujah. Look up, everybody. Imagine your hand for a while. Just imagine your hand trying to grow by itself on its own. Does it make sense? That's how absurd it is to want to grow outside the body. Imagine your leg saying, well, I don't know, what are you eating? No? Chips and chicken. Me, I don't know, whatever you are eating. Me, I will grow on my own. And you know, everything you pass into the body, it does not take it because it's beefing the body. At the end of the day, the decay and the rot will come to what? To the leg. That's how absurd it is to say, I will just grow. It doesn't matter whether I come to church regularly. It doesn't matter whether I see the brethren regularly. It doesn't really matter. I'm growing. God knows. God knows you are not growing. Yes. Hallelujah. God knows. And I know too. Amen. And you also know. You cannot grow outside the body. There's an interdependence. Hallelujah. So imagine from 1 Corinthians 1 to 27, the word body is used 18 times. See the significance. Body, 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 body. Such an emphasis. The body. You know, there are people who say, I'm the church. You are not the church. You are a part of the church. Glory to God. Anywhere I am, that's the church. That's not the church. That's a member of the church. The church is the body. Glory to God. And growth happens within the body. Do you all agree with this?
It's an emphasis.
So 1 Corinthians 12:1-27. Look at verse 7. The body.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. You know, let me share this. A long while ago, I discovered that I have this gift of teaching. I can teach. I can talk for days. I can just teach and keep teaching and keep teaching. Even before I knew the word, I mean, I can just talk and be sharing things. Now, but when I encountered the word of God, that idea of I can teach was replaced with I need to learn. And I remember I was overseeing an assembly in this place, youth and teenagers. Every Saturday we used to meet or come teach God's word. And I told one of the people that, you know, was blessing me then, who is my pastor today, Pastor Ayokunle Oyawale, I told him, I said, can I bring the people here? Can we just come to your place to come and learn? I'll buy them notepads. You know, this notepad thing is not today, praise God. I'll buy them notepad and buy reward, come together. The man saw thirst and hunger. I said, no, don't worry. All of you, don't worry, I'll come over. And that was how he came to teach us on a Saturday. Amen. When I got to Ife, and I saw that people were learning God's word, I knew that, you know, the fellowship didn't start in that particular year. They had learned so many things. So I knew I need to cover ground. So I was asking them, do you have recordings and tapes? Some of you have strolled into this church. It's your first year or your second year. You've not even asked for materials. Hallelujah. And then I went, they said, there are tapes. When they brought out the tapes, to let you know that many believers have a bad habit of learning. When they brought out the tapes, they were already dusty. Including the man keeping the tapes. Amen. He himself is not paying attention to the tapes. They were dusty. So they were dusting them. They brought them there. I began to collect. I collected the first one. When you are done listening, come and collect another one. I said, don't listen. Give me 15. Praise God. So I collected 15 tapes. And I began to listen. I got a notepad. I began to listen. I began to write. I began to pay attention. I began to write. And in few weeks and months, the progress appeared to all men. Hallelujah. Now that's what Paul said. He says, give yourself wholeheartedly to these things, and your progress will appear to all men. Spiritual growth is tangible. We can touch it. We know when a Christian is growing. Praise God. And I began to grow. And you know that drive for teaching others was replaced by, see, there's a need for me to grow. There's a need for me to learn. Hallelujah. Until date, I am still a student of God's word. I will remain a student of God's word till the end of time. If you come to my laptop, you will see materials, teachings. I'm not a self-made man. Praise God. The way pastor explains. I'm a product of other people's labors. I learn. I pursue it because I know that, see, my growth is in the body. It is in how much I'm able to receive of others. Glory be to God. This is very important. So you see, body. Look at verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12. Blueprints for spiritual maturity, and I'm saying, we all must see ourselves as the body of Christ. And that growth will be found in the body. 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 7. Are we all there? Let's all read together. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many people? Each one for what? For the profit of all. Say to your neighbor, there are things given to you for the profit of all of us. Say to your neighbor, do you know them? Hallelujah. This place, it says the manifestation of the Spirit. That is, God expects that you can be a blessing to us by the gift of the Spirit. It is given for the profit of how many? All. Praise God. For the profit of all of us. All of us. You know, this explains what I was saying earlier. That the pastor himself is meant to be blessed. Because the pastor is part of the all. Praise God. It's given for all of us. Because see, the blessedness of spiritual growth is in the body. You know, that's why it doesn't make sense to be fighting people in your church. Or to be working in malice and strife. And then when you come to church, at the door, as the usher is trying to talk to you, you squeeze your face. Praise God. You know, some people, the reason why they fight with ushers every Sunday is because of where they tell them to sit. You just don't like it. As you are entering, you know he's about to tell you, go and sit there. So you just carry your face. Say, auntie, come here. Go and sit there. I don't like that place. Who likes the place? Praise God.
You know, it doesn't make sense, because your blessedness will come from that person you are beefing. That person you are angry with, God is about to use him for you. And you don't know. Glory to God. Gone are those days. I mean, when I was younger, I used to pride myself in stupid things. I say, I can keep malice with you for 2 years. Praise God. You know, we're excited about it. I kept malice with a friend of mine. A friend. From GSS 2 till I left school. Hallelujah. You know where we reconciled? On Facebook. Years after, when Mark Zuckerberg created Facebook, that's where we reconciled. In fact, the reconciliation is that we sent friends requests and we accepted it. Praise God. And then at the day, you know, but we're priding ourselves in it. I'll walk past him. You two walk. Praise God. In a moment, you lose your joy. Then when you walk some distance, you recover your joy. Praise God. And we were in the same school. We were in the same hostel. And we prided that, you know, we pride ourselves in that stuff. We say, I can keep my, if I start with you. You're actually missing. See, on a natural viewpoint, from a natural viewpoint, there were times I was starving in school. That guy had provision. There were times he was also starving. I still had provision. And he could just walk up to me and we share garri and milk and milo and all those things we used to do in boarding house. But because we're keeping malice, he had to go hungry. I have to go hungry. Praise God. It doesn't make sense. Glory to God. The people that are meant to give them job connection are the people they have fought. My God, do my own. This job. God is looking at you like this. Like a bat. Praise God. You are fighting your employer already. Hallelujah. It doesn't make sense. Now, spiritually speaking, that's the same way. God wants to be a blessing to you through men. So when you begin to beef and fight and, you know, walk in rivalry towards people, you are shortchanging yourself. Not just that, you're also hindering yourself from being a blessing to them. Glory to God. Now, we saw that as a case, as an example in the Corinthian church, because of the strife and division in their midst, they couldn't bless themselves the way they ought to. It's a sad scenario. So, manifestation of spirit is given to every man, each one, for the profit of how many? Of all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, you need to stop looking down on yourself. You know, you need to stop looking down on yourself. If I give you the mic and I say, come and be a blessing to us, you don't say, he mean no. Praise God. Even me, that even you, is a graced member of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. You are a graced member of the body of Christ. God has endowed you with gifts for the body. Glory to God. So there's nothing like even me. Hallelujah. Even me. Wow. Someone says, me and my pastor. If my pastor is talking, who am I? I'm a nobody. You think all those things are, you know, you think it's humility? It's bad. Beside my pastor, what do I know? No, you are despising the grace of God upon your life. Who is your pastor? Hallelujah. Who is the leader? Ministers of God, Abby? Just like you. Glory to God. So you don't despise yourself, you don't look down on yourself as a member of the body of Christ by saying such things as, who am I? If my pastor is talking, who am I to have an opinion? See, there are times we have contributions and discussions in this place, and we expect everybody to say something. We expect everybody to make a contribution. In fact, there was a time in this place we were having a discussion on discipleship and Iyola Weshi. And then she said something very profound from Luke 24. I had never seen it like that before. Imagine that. And then I said it in the meeting. I said, imagine, I've never seen it from that angle before. And then somebody said, that's very great. I remember a brother in the meeting said, very great for her to have blessed the pastor. That's funny. Praise God. The pastor is also a member of the body. Glory to God. So you don't look down on yourself. God has deposited in you things for the body. That's why you need to grow. Hallelujah. That's why you need to what? To grow. I know there are places where they clip people's wings. When they give you the mic to teach, they give you protocols, things you must see. Make sure you comport yourself. Don't be teaching like you're the pastor. You've not heard it before. Somebody was sharing his experience in a place. He said he was given an opportunity to teach in a church.
And by the time the senior pastor had gone for a ministerial errand, so by the time he came back, you know, he taught in a way that the whole church was on their feet. By the time he was done teaching, something that the senior pastor has not been able to successfully do. You know, you are teaching, you are looking at him. Praise God. Because he's not entering. Praise God. The explanations, the everything to people. So this man got an opportunity to teach. And then as he was teaching, he preached down a storm, preached the whole roof out, and then people were on their feet. Wow. Justification by faith. That was his problem. The way people received it was his problem from that day. Said the moment he went to sit down like this, the wife of the pastor came and said, "We need to be aware of satanic agents." People who want to take over where others have sown. In a true life story. Hallelujah. He said he could not believe it. He didn't even know he was talking about it. So when the senior pastor came back, the man called him into his office and said, "See, what were you trying to achieve?" You know, you will not even know where to start because you don't even know what he's saying. What were you trying to achieve? Praise God. The man said, I don't get this, sir. No, when I was away, why did you teach that way? Everybody was, The man said, it was like a dream. A church of over 10,000 people. And then the conclusion of that meeting was that we are going to demote you from today. You go back to being a junior pastor and you will not teach for a while. Voila, wow. So, you know, the man just expected him to come and to also teach that way. So, I'm not sure, Shebi, and be teaching the same way he also does. And then, so that nobody will feel like, there's another great man of God in the house. And then people will miss him. Praise God. You know, people like those things. They want them to miss them. See, if people are going to miss me in this church, it shouldn't be because I can teach well. Nobody can teach. Do you understand? It doesn't make sense. So when a man has an opportunity to be a blessing to the body of Christ, we're expecting you to give an expression to the gift of God. We're expecting you to give an expression to what? The gift of God. To be a blessing that you are. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm saying this for emphasis. Look at verse 15 to 21. Things are happening, though. Things are happening. Glory to God. You go and give a Greek word they've never used there before. Pastor calls you after the meeting. Have I mentioned that Greek word before? You've not mentioned it before. So why did you mention it? You don't even know how to answer. Praise God. Because it's in the concordance. From verse 15, look at what Paul says. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they all were one member, where would be the body? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Have you seen that? I can't say I have no need of you because we do not have the same function. Every one of us have been put in the body for a particular purpose and a particular reason. And there's an interdependence. We need one another. Glory to God. And I'm saying because we need one another, our growth is important. Because you cannot supply beyond your level of growth. Glory to God. You cannot supply beyond your level of growth. That's the reason why we could say we have a meeting where we want to manifest things of spirit and somebody comes out, all the words he gives are off point. Hallelujah. Off point. Let's sing spiritual songs. Everybody just raise a song wherever you are. On your mark, get set, will not sing. Praise God. Another person lives a song that is edifying, we all sing. It's not partiality. It is that you have not grown. You don't know the kind of songs we are meant to be singing. Ojagbako, from where? Hallelujah. So, there are things you will be able to minister skillfully because you are growing. If you don't grow, you will minister based on your level of growth.
Hallelujah. In fact, it does not mean that God is not speaking through you. Your interpretations are going to be faulty. So imagine you come to a church like this and then you say, I perceive in my spirit we are to do deliverance for every firstborn. And then we are looking at you. And then we say, well, there's only one firstborn here. His name is Jesus. Then you say, Irao, is he not a firstborn? He said, no, in the body of Christ, there's only one firstborn. A prototype. Hallelujah. And then we don't follow what you are saying. You would think we are not receiving your ministry. But it's not that we're not receiving your ministry. You are not ministering skillfully. Hallelujah. Because of the level of your growth. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. All right. So look at verse 26. 1 Corinthians 12:26. And if one member... Okay, let me even start from verse 24. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. The members should do what? Have the same care for one another. Glory to God. The same care. Hallelujah. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Have you seen? Have you seen that interdependence? Whatever you go through affects the body. Whatever I go through affects the body. Hallelujah. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Glory be to God. So put this down in your notes. A healthy church is one that has growing and committed members. What's wrong with this? A healthy church is one that has growing and committed members. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we all must strive for growth within the body. Now, listen. One of the signs of spiritual growth is stability. One of the signs or one of the hallmarks of spiritual growth is stability. Where the man is stable. Glory to God. Look at Ephesians 4:14 again. We saw it. If you paid attention. Ephesians 4:14. Stability. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:14. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. What happens to children, according to that text? They are tossed to and fro by every wind of what? Doctrine. Glory to God. A mature believer is stable. Hallelujah. He's stable. He's stable. He's fixed in his commitment. His convictions don't undulate. His convictions don't, vacillate. Glory to God. He's stable. He's not a fan of every doctrine. Amen. Now look at the word children here. The word children has used at Ephesians 4:14 is the Greek word nepios. N-E-P-I-O-S. Nepios. Children. Glory to God. Nepios. Children. And what does it mean? It means an infant. You should be writing. Nepios is an infant. Or a babe. An infant or a babe. A minor. Someone who is not of age. Is not mature. Praise God. The Bible refers to us as children of God, right? But that word children of God is not nepios. Nepios speaks of a state of spiritual infancy. Is an infant. Is not of age. Metaphorically, it means one who is childish. One who is childish. Untaught and unskilled. Hallelujah. Look, it's one thing that went off, Abby. Alright, that's the body. Praise God. Just one thing. The old sound is distorted. The body. Praise God. Spiritual infancy. Childish. The man is childish, he's untaught. Metaphorically, he's childish, he's untaught, he's unskilled. Glory to God. So, and such a man, because he's untaught, he's unskilled, and he's childish, he's tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Amen. Have you seen believers who believe contradictory things? We are delivered in Christ. Glory! Let us deliver ourselves. Amen. I mean, those two things are words and opposite. Praise God. They don't know the difference. On Facebook, you find them liking every post. Pastor Toby calls them Aomo Labaika. Liking every post. Hallelujah. Everything just like. His default setting is like. Why are you liking everything? I'm a love being. See, there are things you should not like. There are things you cannot be a fan of. There are things you cannot follow and agree with. Glory to God. In Nepios is the person that acts that way. Following everything. Glory to God. A man of God says, Abeokuta gave back to Lagos. You are glad. Yes. Hey. What does that even mean? Have you sat down to ask yourself what that means? In the spiritual realm. Praise God. Ankle knee anointing. Knee deep anointing. Kinikon anointing. Waistcoat anointing. And you believe everything. You cannot see it in the Bible. And you believe everything. Hallelujah. Bible says only a foolish person believes everything. And there are people like that. The man does not even know the difference. Amen. In fact, I've been at the conference before where every speaker contradicted themselves. All the invited speakers said things that contradicted themselves. The body of Christ things are so terrible and so bad that you can have Pentecostal preachers. All of them are Pentecostals. And they will all contradict themselves. You bring all charismatic preachers, they will all disagree. It's so terrible. And people were saying contradictory things. The first sermon, I was like, Emajaya, we remi by you. And people were receiving. Nepios. Writing. What are you writing? Drop this Bible. You should be praying for the preachers. Hallelujah. We're receiving everything. They don't know the difference. Glory to God. They don't know the difference. In fact, sometimes a man of God himself can contradict himself. And people will move on. People just move on. I told you a story in this place. A man would say, we are safe forever. And then when they were done, he began to lead prayer points. I thought you said, Now the members were praying the same prayer. They were the same people that said, glory, we are safe forever. Nepios. Hallelujah. Nepios, undiscerning. Hey, you know, a baby eats everything. You want to collect a poisonous substance from a baby like this, you'll be dragging with you. Because it's a baby, has no discernment. This thing is not milk, it's Isa. Praise God. It's not milk. He thinks it's milk because they look alike. When I was younger, I was running after cockroach. I thought it was shrimp. A day. You know, they are the same color, they look alike. To a baby, you want to eat everything. Hallelujah. Babies. They found a baby that was dipping his hand in shampoo, wanted to eat shampoo. It looks like what? I don't even get. Does it look like custard? Nepios. Everything is food. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Hallelujah. Now, you know, being a Nepios makes you very offended and mature believers. How many of you at some point in your life as a Christian, you felt some people were just critical? Always criticizing things. You might have even felt that way as I was talking. What was this preacher? You should just say his own now. He's my own. He's my own, I'm saying. Praise God. Part of my own is to point out falsehood. Praise God. You know, people just get angry. Nepios is angry. As you are discerning and judging all things and testing things, see, only God can judge. It's not only God that can judge. Bible says to test all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 John 4, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. And he was talking about men, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So a mature believer does not follow everything. He's not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. He judges everything. He's testing things. He doesn't just receive, he's objective. Hallelujah. So a nephew is offended. Why are they critical in this place? Why are they always judging things? Can't we just receive in peace? Hallelujah. Sometimes if you follow me to a conference, you may not enjoy it. Hallelujah. In fact, one particular meeting, I found out people began to relocate from me. People, we went together. Because I would say, no. That thing is not... And I'll focus again. They were making very serious blunders. And I could not afford, for people to just be writing those things. So, those I went with, praise God, I didn't start a session in the midst. So I would say, that thing, look at it very well. So at some point, people began to relocate from my side. Praise God. They at least receive in peace. Amen. But a mature believer is discerning. Hallelujah. He's discerning. See, when they wrote that many false prophets have gone out into the world, that time it was AD 90. AD 90, AD 60. Many. This is 2021. Glory to God. 2020. How many of you saw a lot of teachings on the last days in 2020? It's like the body of Christ forgot eschatology until 2020. People just woke up. The end is here. Jesus is coming soon. Some even gave timeline, 10 years. Jesus said, even me, I don't know. But some ministers of Christ know that in the next 10 years, Jesus is coming. Some even have shown believers how to not miss the next flight. If you miss the first flight, make sure you follow the second flight. Who is selling this ticket? Praise God. Because we have to know that one too. All kinds of teachings. Some said, don't collect the vaccine. No, if you collect the vaccine, you will not go. This, your body will die. You better collect the vaccine so you can stop nose mask. Hallelujah. How can you think they will put a chip in your body and you will not go with Jesus? Is Jesus going with this body? There's a new body coming. That is what makes you rapturable. Hallelujah. This body is being destroyed. So if there's any chip coming out that will not make you buy and sell or make you have access to education, if you don't collect it, you better collect it. You don't know the implication of that. You will die. No food, nothing, and he's not dying for Jesus. Amen. Now listen, if there's going to be a chip that will disqualify a man from being born again, the Bible will not leave us in the dark. It will be clear. But you don't find chips in the Bible. Praise God. Faith or unbelief is what determines whether a man is saved or damned. So whether you don't collect the chip or not, if you are in unbelief, I'm Yeshua Larae. Did you get what I'm saying? He says, I don't have chip, but you are in unbelief. There's the mark of the beast on you. Praise God. If you have faith and all your body is chipped, praise God, you are still of Christ. Because you have been marked with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is the guarantee, hallelujah, of our inheritance? So why are you afraid of chip? There is no chip on this earth that can remove the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God. So I'll collect all the chip and I'll go and eat freely. Praise God. Let me tell you something. The devil is a master at distracting people from the main thing. That thing is just a distraction. If they bring any chip today, it's a distraction. It is to make people distracted from the main thing. So unbelievers will not be bothered about the gospel. They'll just be saying, I did not collect any chip, and they are going to hell. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a distraction. So we know the word of God. So a discerning believer by the word is able to interpret the events and the times. Glory to God. A lot of teachings came out in 2020. Most of them were false. Because they were not teachings born out of an understanding of scriptures. It was emotions. Hallelujah. Emotions. Newsflash. Shh. I did not tell you. Some of them will collect the chip when it is out. I did not tell you. Some of those pastors, they will collect it. You just discover pastor is getting fresher. You are growing lean, dying. The man is, he has collected chip. Praise God. Underneath, we put it in a very conspicuous place. Maybe at the back. Only the wife sees it. Praise God. The man is enjoying his life. 5G, 5G is bad, it's bad. They will still use it to stream program. Amen. The next meeting, watch out. In all of this technology, you know, tech savvy churches, is 5G that will stream. Because they will discover that the speed is so fast. Praise God. In fact, we are not done with the argument of 5G. 6G is in the offing. Glory to God. And we shall use it. Amen. You see, you can't afford to be ignorant. Hallelujah. Don't be a nepios. There has to be growth. There has to be maturity by which you are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Glory to God. Look at how this word is used. Matthew 11 and 25. Nepios is never used for spiritually mature believers. It is used only for spiritually infants. Unskilled and undiscerning men. Funny enough, we all start out as nepios. We all start out as being untaught or skilled. We all start out as babes. But it is not permitted for you to remain a babe in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you this carefully. Matthew 11, 25. Glory to God. Are you learning something? Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. You see, his disciples at this point in time were referred to as nephews, babes. Because the reality is, at this point in time, were they spiritually mature men? No! They were babes. Infants. Undiscerning, unskilled. These were the folks who had the problem still believing in the prophets. When Jesus rose again from the dead, he still had to come and rebuke them of their hardness of heart. So they were infants. They were undiscerning. They were unskilled men. So, of course, babes can receive revelation from God's word. Abi? Because it's receiving revelation that will make you even, you know, leave that stage. So, babes. Matthew 21:16. Hallelujah. Matthew 21 and verse 16. Bible says, and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you not heard? Have you not read? Out of the mouth of babes and nothing infants, your perfected praise. You see, nothing infants. Used for babes here. Nothing infants. That is spiritually infantile people. These people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were not really mature people. Amen. They were not really spiritually mature, enlightened people. They were babes. But then they sang his praise. They were able to discern what the chief priests and the elders in Israel could not discern. That this is the Son of God. Hallelujah. This is the Messiah. He's the Christ. But they were babes. You find the same account at Luke 10:21. Now look at Romans 2:20. Babes are spiritual infants. Romans in chapter 2 and verse 20. Glory to God. Romans 2:20. Hallelujah. Romans 2:20. And I'll read. You know, speaking about Jewish leaders now, Jewish teachers, let me start for context sake. Let me start from verse 17. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes. The word foolish there and babes are used for the same set of people. An instructor of the undiscerning, of the untaught, the unskilled, the spiritually immature. Praise God. Having the form of the knowledge and truth in the law and all that. So, this is for Jewish leaders, teachers. Men who consider themselves to be leaders of the blind. Men who consider themselves to be teaching those who were babes. Those who were spiritually dull and, you know, infantile in their orientation. Praise God. Look at 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, even as to babes in Christ. Have you seen the use of the word babes? That's the word nepios. Spiritually mature people, no, but as to carnal men. I couldn't speak to you as men who are spiritual. I spoke to you as carnal men, as babes. Glory to God. Babes. And why did he refer to them as babes? Verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. Verse 3, for you are still carnal, For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Because of their conduct and attitude, he classified them as babes in Christ. Glory to God. They were divided. Some said, I'm of Apollos. Another one said, I'm of Cephas. Another one said, I'm of Paul. He says, are you not children like these? Babes. Carnal men. Now, they were not carnal by nature. They were spiritual men. Chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians already says, you know, the spiritual man receives the things of the spirit. So, every member of the body of Christ is spiritual. The body of Christ is made up of men who have the spirit of God dwelling within them. We are all spiritual. But by attitude, because of their attitude, they were behaving like carnal men. And Paul says it was because they were babes. They were spiritually undiscerning. They were untaught. Hallelujah. Look at this other place. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. The word nepios is used for two words. Childish and, you know, child. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Look at what Paul says. To let you know that this is not a state that you ought to be in for life as a Christian. It is a state you must outgrow. You must get out of it. 1 Corinthians 13, 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away what? Childish things. Glory to God. I put away childish things. And if you look at the context of his discourse, he was talking about how that everything the believer must do by love. So there was a time when he did not discern the motive of service. I put away childish things. Glory to God. So when I became a man, you know, because he says in malice and in malice be children, but in understanding be men. So I was once a child, I thought as a child, I was childish in my orientation, knowing that he was teaching and saying this rather to a church that was childish. Amen. A church that was still battling with all this envy, carnality, division, strife in their midst. A church that was walking in the gifts of the Spirit without the right motive. The love of God was not the predominant factor determining how they manifested the gifts of the Spirit. So, he says to them, I was also once like you. I was also childish. Praise God. But then when I became a man, I put away what? Childish things. Glory to God. There are lots of childish things you put away once you mature in the faith. Glory to God. As you mature in the faith. You know, there are believers till date who, the way they still get what God will say to them every day is to throw down their Bible and whatever it happens to. That's the word of the Lord for the day. It's a childish thing. Praise God. You are using the Bible like casting lots. Amen. Casting lots. Whatever is there. And there's this joke. I don't know whether it was true. Of these jokes of a man who tossed his Bible and then he saw
go and do likewise.
He saw and Judas went and hung himself. And then he threw it and said, no, that's not my portion. He threw it again. Then he saw, go and do likewise. That's the next word from the Lord. He took it and said, no, leave me on your Bible. He threw it, sin came down again and he saw, what thou doest, do quickly. Then he closed the Bible and fled for cover. Hallelujah. That's not how to use the Bible. There are lots of childish things people do today. Childish things. There are believers who still believe you are a business person, you know, and then you believe that the first person that buys from you determines how the business will go. Hallelujah. Ajay, a Christian. Ajay Walarawa boy. Anytime he buys from me in the morning like this, till the night I will sell, I'll keep selling. When we were younger, somebody used to want me to buy from her. I didn't know that was the reason. Until they said, Ajay Walarai. Engbaje Arami. Praise God. Is that not money ritual? Amen. What does that mean? And their believers used to think that way. Somebody comes to buy something and brings a dirty 50 naira. You say, no, hold, wait there. What now comes the clean money? Thank you. You are still superstitious. Praise God. As a mature believer, those are things you do away with. You know, there are believers who still believe if they are going out in the morning, as if they knock their foot on something, the day will not be good. You knock your foot on something, the day will not be good. You are discerning the day, your life, by whatever is happening around you. Glory to God. In fact, sometimes you can knock your feet against something and that day will be very good. You can go out, not eat anything, and you're about to last dent. Praise God. That you must, by the Holy Ghost, avert it. But because you are only looking at how things go in the natural, you will not even know. The way God leads us is by His Spirit. Hallelujah. So whether the cloud is somehow, whether I hit my leg up against something or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is what I have perceived in my spirit. Glory to God. In my spirit. You have a dream, and then you saw that as you were traveling about the expressway, you saw some people wearing hats, the one they weave, and then they were butchering people. You say, ah, amen, amen, praise God. It could be your interpretation. Hallelujah. Because you fed on so many news of amen. So, I don't just by that dream say, I'm not traveling. I will still pray. Hallelujah. And if I'm led of the Spirit to move on, I will go. Glory to God. Because not all dreams are inspired by God. So, there's the element of being led by what? By God's Spirit. So, you put away childish things when you mature. Glory to God. So, he used the word nepios for child and childish. Amen. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Galatians 4, 1 to 3. Glory to God. Childish things. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from a slave. Though he's master of all, that's the word child, also nepios, is not different from a slave. This was used for the Jews under the law. They were referred to as children, nepios. Verse 2, but it's under guidance and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. You see, children, and it's used in a negative sense. They were in bondage as children. Glory to God. Final place, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. Hebrews 5, 13. Hallelujah. Hebrews 5 and verse 13. Glory to God. For everyone who partakes of milk or only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Why? For he is a babe. Have you seen the word unskilled? He's unskilled. He is a babe. And what does it mean to partake only of milk? Verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be what? Teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk and not solid food. There's a time when a man is expected to become a teacher of God's word. Hallelujah. I mean, up until now, come and explain salvation. Salvation, which of them? Praise God. Just explain salvation, whichever of them. And then you're already panicking. Explain what it means to have the Spirit of God. You don't know where to start. You don't know. That's a sign of spiritual infancy. Mature believers are people who are able to teach. Glory to God. People who are able to what? Able to teach. They're able to teach others. Hallelujah. And listen, there's no deliverance out of this state other than a decision to change. A decision to just change your approach to learning. That's all. Hallelujah. It is pursued. So, nepios is somebody who is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He is a babe. The contrast is solid food belongs to those who are of age, who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. The man who is not a baby is the man that is of full age. He has matured. He has grown in his knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. He can handle the word of God skillfully. He can teach the word of faith. He can teach the word of truth. He can also, by his own life, he says, by reason of use, he has his senses exercised between discerning between good and evil. He discerns well. He knows the difference between false teaching and sound teaching. Glory to God. And by his life, he upholds the same. Glory to God. So, having said all that, what is God's blueprint for spiritual growth? What is God's blueprint? Or what are God's blueprints for spiritual growth? I'm just going to touch on one of them today. Number one, receiving the word continually. Listen, it's a blueprint you must not miss if you want to grow. Receiving the word continually. Hallelujah. Continually. Praise God. Continually.
in this church, if we don't see you around and we come to your inbox or your chat on WhatsApp, or we ring your phone and then we say we've not been seeing you in church, it's not because we are missing your offering. Praise God. Not because when we calculated the offering, we just go, if this person had come, if this person had come. No, that's not the reason. The reason is because we know that you have missed a great deal. Hallelujah. You've missed a great deal. And if you don't catch up with what we have just learned, you're already behind. Glory to God. Receiving the word continually. James 1, 22 to 25. It's a major blueprint. You must not miss it. You must not miss it. If you must grow spiritually, you must fix your receiving, your hearing. James chapter 1. Are you in church? James 1 and 22 to 25. Glory to God. Bible says, but be doers of the word. If I let me start from verse 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. What are you to do with the word? The first thing to do with the word is to what? Receive with what? With meekness. Hallelujah. Receive. Put aside every filthiness, overflow of wickedness. What is the filthiness and overflow of wickedness here? Everything he said, you know, getting onto this point, the attitude of not being slow to hear. Be swift to hear, you know, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The attitude of not being slow to wrath, not being slow to speak, and not being swift to hear. The attitude of, you know, just forming opinions about spiritual things. Some were saying God could tempt, and they could also be tempted of God. And then he says, do not err, my beloved. God is not tempted. He cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anybody with evil. So he addresses different things, and then he gets to verse 19 and he says, okay, verse 17, he says, every good gift and perfect gift from God. Some were already thinking wrongly about God. They had a wrong perception about him. So he gets to verse 19 and says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. That is, have more priority on learning, receiving God's word. Swift to hear, slow to speak. Don't be eager to teach. Hallelujah. Slow to wrath. You know, when you are not slow to speak, you cannot be slow to wrath. You notice those who say things that are contrary to scriptures, the moment you take them up, they get angry. Have you noticed? They get angry. In fact, 1 Timothy chapter 6 is a good contrast. Look at this place quickly. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Praise God. Open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. From verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with what? Are you looking into your Bible? Is obsessed with what? Disputes and what? An argument over words, from which come what? Envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. So the man does not agree with God's word. He teaches otherwise, and then such a man, Bible says, is obsessed with words, disputes, arguments, strife, useless wranglings. That is what it genders into. When you make opinions that are not found in scriptures, and then you are taken up. Most times, because man is naturally, by default, man is opinionated. By default. Do you know that when people disagree with your opinion, you don't like it? Especially when you are sounding authoritative about it. So by default, so it genders into wrath. Glory to God. So at James chapter 1, the counsel is to not be swift to teach. Make opinions, say things that are not, you know, founded in scriptures, because that will lead to wrath. It is better to be swift to hear. Hallelujah. So that's why, you know, the verse 21 is a therefore. Therefore, laying aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Save your souls from what? From wrong assumptions and false teachings that he just mentioned. Praise God. So it goes to verse 22. But be what? Doers of the word. And not hearers only. Deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So, it says, be a doer of the word. But you know what? Many times people get fixated on doing God's word. I want to do God's word. I want to do God's word. I'm not doing God's word. How do I do God's word? See, the starting point is the receiving. Hallelujah. You don't strive to be a doer of God's word outside your receiving. Amen. And that's why, note this key word. Number one, the word forget. James chapter 1 and verse 24. The word forget, as used, is the Greek word epilantanomai. We've said this word over and over again. Epilantanomai, E-P-I-L-A-N-C-H-T-H-A-L-O-M-A-I. E-P-I-L-A-N-T-H-A-T-H-L-O-M-A-I. Epilantanomai. Praise God. So what does it mean? It means to neglect. The forgetfulness is not that you have poor memory. The forgetfulness is you neglecting God's word. Hallelujah. It's you neglecting God's word. So it says a man that looks in the mirror and goes away and immediately forgets. He forgets who he was. He neglects it. He's not paying attention to what he saw. He's not paying attention to the same thing he has seen. Now, the word doer is a Greek word poetis. P-O-I, poetis. P-O-I-E-T-E-S. Poetis. P-O-I-E-T-E-S. Glory to God. Make sure you are noting these things. After this meeting, you are going to share with somebody what you learned, and you are going to mention these two Greek words. Hallelujah. Without looking into your notes. Epilantanomai. Epidemic. I'm going to mention the Greek word epilantanomai and poetis. Poetis means a performer. That's the word used for poet in those days. A poet, a performer, a poet. So I said to forget means to neglect. So that means the man that will not forget is the man that keeps paying attention, the man that keeps looking at it. That's why the contrast is he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues. And it's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. It is the continuing to look that makes you a doer. You don't say, I'll look into the word, then I'll now go and try and do. No, no. You look into it till it makes you do. So it is the word that makes you a doer of the word. I keep looking and gazing into it till it pervades my thoughts. And it produces actions. Hallelujah. Are you aware you are a product of your thoughts? I mean your lifestyle, your actions, your daily living. The things you think, it's a product of your thoughts. Everything. So I inject the word of God to a point where it now begins to promote godly living. It promotes godly thinking, godly thoughts, and it promotes godly living. Hallelujah. It says he who continues in it. Continues in it is in italics, because the continuing is continuing to look. He who continues to receive the word is the man that will not be a forgetful hearer. The truth of the matter is, if you continue to receive God's word, can you forget it? Can you forget what you keep looking at? The only reason why you forget is if you look away. Hallelujah. So, we are to keep looking. So many times people fix their gaze on, I just want to be a doer of the word. I want to be a better Christian. I want to do this. I want to see. It's not just about, it's not first about doing. It's about receiving. You must fix your receiving. It's a major blueprint for spiritual growth. I must be found receiving God's word regularly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, for this reason, God gave us men. John 21. Look at this. John 21. God gave us men. Hallelujah. You know, one thing I found out about God's word. The more you receive it, the better you get. The more you receive it, the better it is. The better you appreciate it. Amen. You know, I listened to some messages. I thought I had squeezed every insight out of it. And then I listened again. And I'm like, ah, God. Hallelujah. Sometimes a reminder of the things I know. And then, you know, that thought just makes me pray more. Makes me more conscious of a certain reality in Christ. So, you cannot squeeze out everything in a particular sermon. The truth will always edify you. So, the more you receive, the better you get. Praise God. John 21. John 21. Are we there?
So for this reason, Jesus gave us men. John 21, and I'll read from verse 15 to 17. So when they are eating breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep. Feed my lamb. Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved, because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." You see the importance of having oversight over your life. Feed my sheep. Tend my lamb. You see, this portion of scripture we just read explains why, explains what I used to say, that we don't come to church mainly to learn things you have never heard before. Then you come for a midweek service and a brother is exhorting and you're like, "What is this exhorting about? Righteousness by faith." "Oh, righteousness by faith. But I've heard that thing before." And then you close your heart. See, that's the reason why you even need to hear it. Those who know righteousness by faith, don't act that way. Hallelujah. It's more exciting. You want to hear it again. Hallelujah. You want to be blessed all over again. You want to take a purposeful gaze into it again, so that it will affect your work. So, we don't come just to learn things you have never heard before. You know why? Because the people Jesus was assigning Peter over were people he had taught. Weren't they? All the disciples on the day of Pentecost, all those guys, over 120 or close to 120 people, they had been taught by Jesus. All of them had their minds open to see the scriptures. They had been taught. They had been enlightened. Yet, Jesus appointed Peter over them to teach them. Because it is beyond getting insight from church. You know, you can read your Bible at home and understand it. I hope you know this. Yes. So, but there's oversight. There's oversight. Because you will not always feel like reading your Bible. Glory to God. That's why there's oversight. Teaching. Look at this other place. Hallelujah. Acts 20:28. Very key. He gave us men for the sake of teaching and equipping us. Because receiving is the major blueprint for spiritual growth. The man that wants to grow must fix his receiving. How are you receiving? And how often are you receiving? Acts 20:28. Paul speaking to the elders of the church. "Therefore, take it to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." To do what? To shepherd. Hallelujah. To do what? To do what? To shepherd. Colossians 2:6-7. Colossians 2:6-7. Thank God for the word. Colossians 2:6-7. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." As you have been what? Taught. As you have received, continue. So that you can be rooted and built up and established in him. Glory to God. How did you receive the Lord Jesus? You received the word. Hallelujah. That's the same way you continue to receive. Look at this other place. 1 Peter 5:1-2. 1 Peter 5:1-2. Very important things. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:1-2. "Have you seen a man who is making progress in the faith? Is a man who has learned how to receive continually." 1 Peter 5:1-2. "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly." You know, it says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. You must have oversight over the flock. There's receiving the word of God on a regular basis. Now, you would always have to fix your receiving. See, if you notice you are not growing as you ought to grow, something is wrong with your receiving. That's the first thing to address. Your receiving. How am I receiving? Am I receiving at all? If I'm receiving, how am I receiving? Is it continuous? Because it's not just about receiving once in a while. It's about continuing to receive. There's such a thing as continuing. And I'll close on this. Acts 14:21-23.
If the most exciting time for you in a sermon is I'll begin to close, there's a problem. Acts 14. You know, that's for some, that's the most exciting time. As I begin to close, glory to God. You know, that's a problem. Hallelujah. Acts 14, verse 21 to 22. You must be that kind of Christian that says, we die here. Hallelujah. We die here, we stay here. After this session, Pastor, can we have another session of the word? And I'm not running anywhere. You don't do that with season movies. Why are you doing that with the word of God? If you don't do that with football, why are you doing that with the word of God? Hallelujah. Attention span. You know this generation. Our attention span. See, you determine your attention span. No? Yes. Hallelujah. In a generation where attention span is reducing, football is still 90 minutes with extra time. In fact, some people will be very angry if they don't play extra time. And after extra time, penalty income or penalty. Praise God. He wants everything. He doesn't want to miss out. Glory to God. Someone says something in passing. This movie, they said this. What movie is that? He wants to go and check it out. I didn't recommend the movie. I was just saying something. No, he will get the movie. But someone quotes something from a sermon. You don't bother to go and listen to the whole series. You see, it's about priority. It's about what you have placed importance on or value on. Hallelujah. Acts 14. Glory to God. I'm believing God in this church. We are going to have 90 days word conference. Oh, glory to God. 3 months. We come to church every evening and teach 2 hours. Every day. Glory to God. Because see, if we are looking at spiritual growth, we must fix our receiving. Our receiving is important. How we receive is important. Are you there now? Acts 14. 21 to 23. Acts 14, 21 to 23. Glory to God. Are you all there now? Alright. He says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to do what? To continue in the faith. What does it mean to continue in the faith? To continue to receive teaching. Praise God. Faith is also used for doctrine. Saying we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God, verse 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So in order to ensure continuity, they appointed elders in every church to continue to have oversight over the saints, to teach men. Hallelujah. Look at this other place. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 to 16. 1 Timothy 4, 12 to 16. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Estimated time people spend on social media in Nigeria, Africa, generally, particularly in Nigeria, an average person spends 5 hours on social media every day. Praise God. On every day. Every day. What's he learning? Different opinions. Hallelujah. The Twitterians. Amen. People are just coming up with different opinions. And you know, have you observed that there's always something to talk about on social media? And something is going on and it's about to go. People are already like, what will we now start talking about? You know? And before you know it, another trend has emerged and there's something else to discuss. And before you know, it's just to keep you busy. Amen. The people can be there engaging everything, and at the end of the day, you are not really making progress. Well, you have this deception of you have information. And most of the information are not relevant to you. Glory be to God. They are not. Hallelujah. They are not. But you know, yesterday myself and Diolu were chatting. We're talking about something they just banned. And then I know that thing is so relevant to some people because they participate in it, they trade in it regularly. So as we were talking about it, he came to me, a member of church even does that. Let me reach out to him, and I did that. So as we were talking, I just said, well, I'm tired, let the world burn. It don't really concern me, praise God. In fact, people who all their experience in that particular business is lost, they will not even be moved. There are certain things that don't concern us really. Glory to God. But you know, we find ourselves engaging. The world is just out there throwing everything at us, getting us busy, getting us busy, getting us busy. And it's a facade. And that's the reason why you don't have time for Bible study. You see, it's funny. And those things are not hiding up where growth is concerned. 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 12 to 16. I would say, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attention to what? To reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Hallelujah. Did you see the phrase, give attention? Till I come. Let that be your duty spot. Give attention to reading, to doctrine, to exhortation. Hallelujah. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying of the hands of the eldership. Verse 15, let's all read together. Meditate on these things. Give yourself. How should you give yourself to them? Entirely. Wholly. Completely. Hallelujah. Not partially. Praise God. Completely. Entirely. There must be a devotion. Give yourself entirely to these things. And what will happen? Is in there. What will happen? That your progress may what? Appear to others. Hallelujah. So, what kind of commitment makes your progress appear to others? Giving yourself entirely. Glory to God. Like I used to say, Pastor, how long should I pray? It's no question. How long should I pray? Bible. Pray without ceasing. Praise God. You cannot overpray. If you choose to pray 12 hours today, now nobody will arrest you. If you choose to pray 4 hours tomorrow, nobody will arrest you. If you choose to pray 5 minutes, it's your decision. So there's nothing like how long should I pray. The design of God is that you pray continually. Hallelujah. Continually. Regularly. Look at this other place. Okay, we're still in 1 Timothy 4. Now look at verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Have you seen the word continue again? Continue. For in so doing, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Have you seen what works? Continuity. It's not just I've listened, I've heard it. I don't know, we must continue in it. You must continue. You must continue. You must continue. You must get lost in it. Hallelujah. And then he says, it's by so doing, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Because he was instructing a pastor. Even the pastor will make progress to the degree that he continues to receive God's word. He gives himself wholeheartedly, entirely meditating on the scriptures. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 3:14-17. Glory to God. What does he say? He says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Have you seen the word continue again? Have you noticed it does not say you must continue in new things? In the things you have what? Even what you have learned. There's an attitude and a disposition of continuity that you must have towards them. You have learned it. Continue in it. What does that mean? Continue to learn what you have learned. That's what it means. It's simple. Continue to learn the things you have learned. Hallelujah. Continue to learn the things you have learned. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Continue in what you have learned, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We used to quote this scripture, but you've seen the attitude that gets it, is that the man of God continues in that which he has learned. Hallelujah. It's important. Praise God. You know, I used to say this. We don't teach you things you don't know. If you have been coming to this place for a while, we will keep teaching you what you already know. And it's a Bible pattern. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. If you are always itching to hear new things, you will not last in the word. Because there is teaching you what you already know. There's you continuing to learn what you already have learned. Hallelujah. 1 John in chapter 2. Amazing. Amazing. Look at what John says. 1 John 2. Glory to God. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. From verse 20. 1 John 2, 20. It says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Right? Now verse 21. Can we all read together? I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lies of the truth. Imagine this. I'm saying, I'm writing to you, not because you don't know it, but because you know it. Does it make sense? I'm writing to you because you know what I'm about to write. Glory to God. That's the pattern you find in scriptures. You know, we saw the same in 1 Peter also. He says, I'm writing to you, though you know and you are established in the present truth, I'm still writing to you. Because this is the pathway to spiritual maturity. Glory to God. You know, so why should we continue? Because growth happens with patience. It takes time. It takes time. Luke 8, verse 11 to 15. Look at the parable of Jesus. Growth takes time. It takes time. You know, oh God. Some folks are there right now at the brink of growth. You're about to make progress. You are receiving. Then you walk away. And then you start withering. Hallelujah. And then, what is the essence of everything I've been learning? No. You walked away shortly before the essence of everything you've been learning was about to start bearing fruit. You walked away. Believers who cannot stay put to receive God's word. You were about to make progress. Then you walked away. Hallelujah. You attend this church for 2 months. You can't be the same. With the right attitude, you cannot be the same. But you come this week, next week, you go. And you know, sometimes it's more difficult. When people are inconsistent, it's more difficult for them to grow. Because you come this week, you go, and then you don't come till 2 months' time. By the time you come 2 months' time, the world has had, you know, a few days on your mind. They've bombarded you with many other things that has made it difficult for you to commit. And then you don't even now stay. Some folks cannot stay through one service. You know, I'm citing an example of somebody who comes today and then doesn't come on tonight. Some people cannot even stay throughout today. Praise God. They are stylishly looking at their watch. We have different things we have devised in the body of Christ. Is the wristwatch he wants to look at? I used to see people, I'm like, what's wrong with this one? Who are you deceiving? Yourself. Praise God. Okay. Some people look at the back like they want to look at their neighbor. What? How many hours have we spent in this church that you're already grinding your body against the chair? You cannot stay put. You cannot stay put. Amen. When you see a movie, you balance ice cream and popcorn. You are there for 6 hours. Spiritual sickness. Praise God. You know, you're so excited like a puppy. You're like, oh, you're there. How many episodes in that series? 48. Ah, thank God. Six. I need movie that has a lot. The man is so passionate. Praise God. We are hanging out. We are going to beach. How many hours? Just some 2 hours. We just walk around. 2 hours. I'm not in for such picnics. So. Praise God. All day. Yes. Dawn to dusk. Dusk to dawn. Ah, my guy. You enjoy it. You balance. You are at home. You say, I'm here for all of it. Praise God. But you come to church. You pick. Pray session 1 year. Praise God. It's not always that exciting or electrifying. I'll go towards the end. Pastor used to come late too. We'll go late together. As you're about to enter to teach, also come. Praise God. And as he's teaching, I know myself, my tolerance level is very small. As he's teaching, if he says anything that offends, I get up. Praise God. Some people come with their neighbors. Both of them are giving themselves signals. You know, I've seen things. Giving themselves. Shoot here.
Mushiwa blessed. Mushiwa blessed. Jeka dad. Jeka duro. Praise God. Mushiwa blessed. Jeka duro. Imi wa blessed mo. Hallelujah. Man just gets up, walks away. Imi wa blessed. Then he's waiting outside. Sometimes we used to go and meet them outside. Who are you waiting for? He's my friend. Your friend is inside listening to God. So enter, enter. It's so bad. Attention span for God's word has reduced because we have not placed value on God's word. Hallelujah. And there will be no growth outside it. There will be no growth. Growth happens with patience. Say to your neighbor, growth happens with patience. You must stay. Say to your neighbor, you must learn to endure. You must learn to persevere. Hallelujah. Luke 8, 11 to 15. Glory to God. Luke 8, 11 to 15. You must learn to persevere. Glory to God. If you go to church with an unserious believer and God is about to get your attention and the other person is tapping you, change your seat. Amen. Because you didn't come to this world together. You will stand before God individually. If you go to church with a partner that is unserious and God is about to get your own attention, just change your seat. Praise God. That's how it's done. You don't stay listening to the counsel of the ungodly. Luke 8. And from verse 11. It's the parable of the sower. And then in this parable, Jesus showed us how growth happens. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. See the battle. See this battle. The man receives the word of God. There are things waiting outside there to attack the seed of God's word. Hallelujah. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in a time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Verse 15, let's all read together. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with what? Keep it and bear fruit with what? So it is not just about hearing it once in a while. It's about hearing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. It's about staying there and receiving and enduring training and persevering. Hallelujah. You stay there. It's an attitude of an academical person, a student. I'm receiving information. I'm receiving vital revelation that will change my life. And I'm going to stay there, patiently receiving, till it brings growth. Hallelujah. So, we don't come into church with a mindset of being hasty to go, hasty to leave. When are they going to be done now? So I come here, I want to receive all. Hallelujah. I sit patiently. Come to think of it. How many, what's the fraction of the time you spend in church? You attend a church like TSK, the max is 4 hours, or 4 hours, 30 minutes. The max. What is that out of 24 hours today? What is that out of 24 hours in 1 week? Sometimes Sunday is the only time people come to church, and you cannot still give that time away to fully receive God's word. Hallelujah. You must fix your receiving. Say to your neighbor, you must fix your receiving. Say to your neighbor, you must fix your receiving. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Alright, in the next 5 minutes, share with your neighbor what you learned. Then your neighbor will share with you also. And then we close. You must fix your receiving. And then we have work, or we have assignment. We'll start having assignments again. You know, we used to do assignments, go and study this, go and study that. Then we'll have it more detailed from now. I'm going to follow you up. Praise God. You can still social distance. Don't worry. You can still social distance and just share. Or you can communicate with sign language. If you are too afraid of COVID, just do your hand like this. Glory to God. Emoji. Those online, can you play something for them? Alright. You just play a song for the next 5 minutes. Or 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Song. Continually, I give myself entirely to these things so that my profiting
will appear to all men. Lift your hands, give him praise. Thank him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Make sure you are praying. Pray a few minutes. Oh Jesus, oh yes. Oh my Lord, thank you Jesus, thank you Jesus. Can I have some singers? Can I have some singers? Any singer at all? Just get on the mic and let's sing. Hello, Golo Mos Petok Lembrodish Kefe Fredish Kati Kati Nemronia. Oh yes. Make sure you're praying. Make sure you're praying. Make sure you're praying. Make sure you're praying. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Your life is about to change, I tell you. For real now. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hello, Jesus. Make sure you're praying. Make sure you're praying. And tatali kali ya dogo na tili gine ni edele gele teli tilaka. Hey, friend of kani ya dela kiki gugu na shata ya dela bra mama 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 blood ina ni 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 da. Friend of braga tishka tiko bruga bela gele teli tili gragi kukuloshi kibiali gele bela gele teli tilaka. Hey, yalo sapi ya tili grani ya tila gagi anashka dia. Jesus. Oh yes. Make sure you're praying. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Wear some cloak of fervency right now and pray. Kala makatala gele nedi adele prada. Fra brada braka baka bala fraka bala shabla vela gele de de le brega bede vela vela gele de gele vela gele de la grada. Fra ba 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 kula ba 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 yedi la bla 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 ba 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 yedi la. Woo! Kali da bala kala dunus katile broko bela gele de la grada. Hey, oh, you tell us get to regel no 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 suple de de kroko bela gele de la grada. Be that man that met the world and his life changed entirely. You can be that man. You can be that man that met the word, made a difference in his generation. You can be that man. Don't sleep on the word. Don't be part of a generation or the clan of people who sleep on the word of God. Be that man that receives the word and keeps receiving. It makes a difference in his life, and then he makes a difference in his own generation. The man of God, come rain, come shine, goes with the word of God. Sink or swim, it's with the word. You can be that man. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Thank you for the cross. The man who died for me. Thank you for the cross. The mighty cross. Yeah. And God himself should die for such as I. Oh. We have all been changed into your image once for all. And it's by the cross we've truly been transformed. Thank you for the cross.
Thank you for the cross.
The mighty cross.
The mighty cross.
God himself should die.
God himself should die.
For such as I, we have all been changed.
We have all been changed.
We have all been changed. Your image once for all, and it's by the cross.
By woo! The cross,
we truly be transformed. One more time. Hey, thank you for the cross.
Thank you for the cross.
The mighty cross.
The mighty cross. Hey.
God himself should die.
For God himself should die.
Such as
for
I.
Such as I.
Oh, for such as I, we have all been changed.
We have all been changed
into your image
once for all.
Oh, it's by the cross.
By the cross, we truly be transformed.
Oh, we
amazed.
We are so amazed.
And we give you praise.
We give you praise.
Oh, for you have saved us at such a cost. And we are so amazed.
We are so amazed.
And we give you praise.
And we give you praise.
For the power.
The power.
Power, yes. Come on, time to say, we are so amazed, and we give you praise,
and we give you praise.
Oh, for you have saved us at such a cost. Oh, we are so amazed, and we give you praise,
and
Lord. For the power of the cross,
for the power
of the cross, for the power of the cross, by which we've been transformed. We are grateful, we are grateful, Lord. We are grateful for the power. Praise God for saving me. My very soul loves to shine. Hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Everybody say, my very soul. Of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. Hey, come on. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. Woo. He redeemed me, he saved me, he sanctified me. When I think of the goodness
of Jesus
and all he's done for me, and all he's done. Oh, my very soul loves to shout hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. My very soul loves to shine. And we're not yet to complain
about the many problems. By your spirit and your grace,
I'm confident
you stop them.
We're not here to complain.
About the many problems.
By your spirit. I'm not here to complain. I'm here to say, I love you, Lord.
I love you.
And I'm here to say,
say,
I adore you, Lord.
I adore you.
And I'm here to say,
I'm here to say,
I adore you, Lord. I love to love you, Lord. I love to love
you,
Lord. Said I love to love you, Lord. Said I love to love you,
Lord.
To love you more. Yes, I love to love. I
love you, Lord.
You know this one. This is my desire to love you.
To honor you, Lord, with all my heart.
Hey.
Lord, with all my heart.
I worship
you. I worship you.
All that is within me.
Within your praise,
I give you praise.
All that I adore,
hey,
is in you.
Hey, Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Give you my soul.
I give you my soul.
I live for you alone.
I live
hey.
For
hey,
you.
Hey, my God, I'm gonna get a
every step that I take, and every moment I'm away.
I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Only you, Jesus.
You every step that I take, every moment I'm away.
Oh, God, have your way.
Lord, have your way.
Lord, have your way.
Lord, have your way in me.
Hallelujah. Let's pray concerning this week, that it's a week of harvest. Harvest of souls. Harvest of souls. Every nook and cranny. Harvest of souls. Everywhere we go with the gospel of Jesus, the hearts of men are responsive. Go ahead and begin to pray. It's a week of harvest of souls. The hearts of men are responsive to the ministry of the word. The hearts of men are responsive to the ministry of the word. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and pray. If you've got any passion for souls in your heart, go ahead and pray. It's a week of harvest. Harvest of souls. Harvest of souls. In the name of Jesus. Kenon granus ku pretete konia de la gleno setatata ketarita ni branosia. In the name of Jesus. It's a week of harvest of souls. The hearts of men are responsive to the ministry of the word. Everywhere we go, everywhere we step, the light of the gospel will dominate. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Papa frata la scata. Papa lifra disca faratete colotini eskite frega vele gelete. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. As men come in contact with the materials, the website, preaching in words, verbal presentation, their hearts are opened, they are responsive. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and pray. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. We receive this week as a week of fruitfulness in all that we do. In the name of Jesus, you know, our steps are ordered by the Lord. We are led, we are guided. We know where to go. Hallelujah. We are not confused. We are not confused. We are not in want of directions. Hallelujah. We know what to do. We know what to do. Because we have the bishop and overseer of our souls over our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Come on, make some noise in this place. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. It's a fruitful week for us. Hallelujah. Have your seat quickly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, so quickly, announcement as I take my seat.